good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. My taxpayer name and colonized name is Robert Pilot, and I'm here with Wendy Pilot, and we have Ogama doing the news here. We are awake, Wendy, and it's been an awesome ride here, so give it to me.
Okay, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline, 651-304-9986. Call them Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, we discuss Native issues, and Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We're going to have State Senator Mary Kunish on today, and it's just going to be a rockin' show, and really, really, really happy to have her on. So why don't we go, Wendy, to Ogama and with the news. Welcome, Ogama.
Hey, Bujur Robert. Happy Friday. So for news today, I just want to touch base on some of the events that are coming up for Line 3, and then just a little bit here about a Keystone XL statement that came through. So today, if anybody was watching Native Roots Radio live, we were up at Camp McGeezy today. So two water protectors jumped into the trenches up in Fond du Lac Reservation, up on Fond du Lac Reservation, rather, to stop construction. So that was at two different sites. So keep updated with Camp McGeezy. I do believe they're still live streaming right now. So if you want to check out what's happening, I would recommend going there. We did have to leave before it got dark. Additional upcoming events for Line 3 include Stop Line 3 with Winona LaDuke, which is a virtual event brought to you by Burning Books, the Western New York Peace Center, and more. That's going to be this Tuesday, January 26th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. It is free, and Winona LaDuke from Honor the Earth is going to speak about the fight to stop Line 3, and a just transition ASL interpretation will be provided. Look for the link on Facebook under Stop Line 3 with Winona LaDuke. As always, Wednesdays for Water is happening in Bemidji at the Paul and Babe on the 27th from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. That is an hour long that invites people to come and bring signs and dance and be physically distanced, but socially connect to stand for the water and to pray for the water all together. MN350 is having a Writing Your Clean Cars comment event online Monday at 6 p.m. So that one is for people who are interested in getting involved in the last month of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's Notice of Intent to Adopt Clean Cars to Minnesota. That's basically going to be an online training to make sure that you are able to strategize and write an effective comment to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Also next Tuesday is the Stronger Together to Stop Line 3 Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives event at 6:30 p.m. until 8 p.m. That is going to be a two-part event on January 26th and January 30th, both days 6:30 to 8 p.m. Central. There'll be a public Zoom-based Line 3 webinar briefing concerning the missing and murdered indigenous relatives, and to understand the most recent task force report, which I know our guest tonight, Mary Kunish, helped to create. And then the program on the second half is going to be an hour-long informative program on January 30th, intended to give people knowledge about the missing and murdered indigenous relatives epidemic, and to understand how it's being addressed in legislation. Both days they will gather on Zoom and Facebook Live. You can go to the event online, again, Stronger Together to Stop Line 3, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives event. The event is co-hosted by MN350 Rise Coalition, the Sovereign Bodies Institute, MUSAC, or the Minnesota Indigenous Women's Sexual Assault Center, the Sierra Club, and more sponsors for that as well. And then I just have two more events here. So the Indigenous Environmental Network is having an event on Tuesday the 26th at 7 p.m. That is a digital rally to build back fossil-free on Tuesday to encourage and continue rallying and calling for President Biden to take bold executive action to end the era of fossil fuels, protect communities, and fight COVID-19. And then last but not least, on Thursday the 28th, there is Line 3 virtual calls to action hosted by MN350, Building a Climate Movement in Minnesota. That one's going to be Thursday, January 28th at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Central Time. And it's going to be a bi-weekly call. So go to that website or to that group on Facebook, Line 3 Virtual Calls for Action, and you can get signed up for those weekly calls to keep yourself in the loop. Let me just
keep ourselves in the loop. I know you took your daughter up to that action and they're digging up there in Fond du Lac, and it's very sickening to see, especially when we are having a new day with new leaders and we still have to deal with pipelines here in our sacred land.
Yeah, the amount of places where they have caused such a massive amount of destruction, this Enbridge pipeline. I mean, we were at two or three different sites, and all of the sites, it's clear cut for miles. There's pipe, there's workers, there's just no respect for the earth in any of those sites. And it's hard to see so much of it. Trucks and gas hogging, out of state plate ridden pickup trucks everywhere. It's a rough one.
Yeah,
it is. Although in this new era, too, I do just want to touch base that the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska has issued a statement regarding the executive order rescinding the Keystone XL pipeline permit. So there is good news happening. The statement reads that on his first day in office, President Joe Biden issued an executive order on protecting public health and the environment and restoring science to tackle the climate crisis. Included in this executive order is the revocation of the March 2019 Keystone XL pipeline permit. This has been a long and hard-fought battle for Indian country and others seeking to protect their lands from the devastating impact of the Keystone XL pipeline. The Winnebago tribe has consistently opposed the issuance of this permit and applauds President Biden on his first step towards addressing the global climate crisis and combating climate change. I love how that last sentence they're talking about, how it's his first step. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much more that always needs to be done with all of these. Right, Robert?
That's right. Yeah. And if people don't know, Winnebago and Ho-Chunk are, I have a lot of relatives that are members of that tribe, and we're pretty much the same people. It's we were pushed off in Wisconsin and then pushed off to Minnesota and then put in Nebraska to die. And a lot of our relatives came back and snuck back to Wisconsin, and there you have it. So those are our relatives, the Winnebago. Ho-Chunk used to be called Winnebago, but it means kind of stinky water, and the French named us, so we went back to Sacred Voice, and that's what Ho-Chunk means. So just a little trivia there, but yeah, great report. You must be exhausted running up there and doing a live report in this cold weather. So we really appreciate that and appreciate you, Ogama.
Yeah, and I really give a lot of credit to the people who are actually staying there and camping out and living in the trees. These temperatures are just ridiculous right now. So I'm hopefully they're staying warm and they have enough equipment to do this, because they are really the frontline people. Yeah. So,
and we're going to have State Senator Mary Kunish up, and she's got some information. Been following her on Facebook, the things that they've been doing, especially in regards to Deb Haaland and her getting that seat in the Biden. So, you know, a lot going on. And I want to give a shout out to Heather Keeler, too. She just said hi via Facebook Live, and she's part of that news too. So I'm excited to hear that. So again, Pini Gigi Ogama, for all you do, and a really nice little segment there. As always, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline, 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your COVID-19 questions.
Great live read there. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, we want to give a shout out to Sam, you know, our former producer, and he said we should be ordering a pizza because he's delivering tonight. So let's keep
awesome.
That in mind.
Pizza Luce. We don't want to
say that name because
Why?
They're not sponsoring us.
But we could still say Pizza Luce. They have a lot of vegan options. Hey, there you go.
There you go. Hey, let's get state senator. State senator. I got it right here. Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish. Welcome, Mary. Good to see you again.
Oh, it's good to see all of you this evening as well.
Wow, you've had some. I'm following you on Facebook, and I feel like just handing over the mic to you because you've been doing so much already in early on in this. It's not even a legislative session, just doing stuff with the Native BIPOC group. And why don't you take it from here? Because I saw that thing for Deb Holland that you put up just a couple days ago.
Yeah, it was really disappointing over the weekend. Somebody shared a letter that Minnesota Congressman Pete Saber was sending to our legislators out in, of course, in Washington, D.C., not here in the state. And it was calling for the removal or the withdrawal of Deb Holland as our next Secretary of State, or excuse me, Secretary of the Interior for the United States. And I think when her name was first brought up across the nation, Indian country just rejoiced and celebrated, and you know there were drums and dancing and you know, out for Deb. We are so darn proud of her. I mean, this is the department that oversees Indian country, basically. And the fact that we have never, ever had an American Indian in this role in our government or in leadership before, was just something to celebrate. We were so excited. And then the Congressman Stauber decided that no, because of some of the issues that Deb is really passionate about, you know, the environment, all the different cultural lands and sacred lands and artifacts that have been lost over centuries and centuries. And now we had an opportunity for a short time when Obama was in office to preserve those and save them and keep them sacred. Well, that, of course, changed. President Trump came into office and then just pushed and allowed so many permits for the desecration of our lands, basically, in the extraction of extracting minerals or whatever it is from the lands as well as water. And it's all for the reason of putting more money into already, almost immorally rich men and women in this world. And so we jumped on that right away and created, my sister helped me together a good letter that we sent out to Congressman Stauber. And we really publicized, social media is great for this. Folks didn't know about it. They didn't know that he was actively working behind the scenes to put a barrier in the naming of Deb as our Secretary of the Interior. And so we know that, you know, one of Minnesota's greatest attributes is the rich history that we have, and much of our history here in this state derived from our native cultures and peoples. I mean, our name, Minnesota, is a native word, the Great Mississippi River. And we have 11 tribes that really do contribute significantly to our state economy. And so when Congressman Stauber puts out the point that, you know, pipelines and minerals and Deb Haaland's non-endorsement of extractment industries as the reason that she should not be named as the Secretary of the Interior is really far-fetched. I mean, she, of course, is not interested in pipelines, in mining, and that sort of thing. But, you know, she is one of the most well-respected Indigenous leaders in our country. And she's backed not only by over like 500 top tribes, but also there are plenty of members at Congress that are supporting Deb Haaland because they know, you know, what a moral being she is, how sacred she holds the lands. I mean, this is a woman that walks the talk, right? She was a mom. She struggled all her life, often, you know, needing the different services that were promised to us in Indian country, and struggled in so many ways. And here she is, you know, an opportunity to really recognize and acknowledge the value of our native cultures and the fact that we are still here, mm-hmm. and we are still advocating for the old ways, but also the sacredness of our lands and our people and the culture. And so it was extremely disappointing to read his letter.
Right. Hey, so Mary, one of the things too, there are four tribes that are up in his district, and I don't think we're going to forget this. And the capacity that that you and many people out there have made it where more Native Americans are getting more engaged in politics, this is going to be a bad thing for Stauber, I think.
Well, it's certainly, you know, just from the response that we've since putting it out on social media, I'm a little overwhelmed by it. And it's not just all our Native folks. There's plenty of non-Native folks that recognize the value of preserving our natural resources and keeping it safe and keeping it well for the next seven generations. And as we always say, representation matters. If your representative is not representing you in the way that you should, your biggest power is to vote. And if you don't like that person in office, then you can vote them out. And in the last election, the power of the Native vote, and I feel like that was just the beginning. Folks kind of had a little peek of how empowered they can be by just casting a ballot for somebody or not casting a ballot for somebody. And so come election time, once again, after, especially after in 2 years after the census and we do the redistricting, I hope folks continue to do their homework and really look and see how their representative is representing them, either in a good way or in a way that means they need to go.
Absolutely. Hey, and one of the things, we had an emotional Wednesday. How did you hold up? Because we were teary-eyed and crying and felt like 50 pounds came off our back.
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, I did not go into the Capitol that day. There was high security. And if anything were to happen, I guess I just didn't want to have to add to whatever might have happened. Fortunately, it was quiet as can be, and there were no shenanigans. So I was home remotely legislating, but my dog Missy and I were dancing around in the living room.
Yeah, we were too. We were so happy, and I was just teary-eyed from happiness the whole day. Yeah.
I just think back when President Obama was inaugurated the first time, feeling of like hope and inspiration and here we go, you know, that's just how I felt again. And seeing his top 10 bill, President Biden's top 10 bills really gave me hope for.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really did.
When he did those,
his executive orders. Really.
Right away, yep. 17 of them. Mm-hmm. Right away. No break for him. And I had to take a nap in between it all, but he didn't.
it was just, it was sort of a low-key inauguration. When Obama was inaugurated 8 years ago, the second time I was able to go out there for it, my sister worked with Obama administration. And so she got invitations plus one, and I was her plus one. So we got to attend all sorts of events, breakfasts and coffees and lunches and happy hours and evening balls and galas. And the streets were just full of people that were so excited. And there was this incredibly beautiful powwow where all the military natives came out in their uniform. And there was this huge line. Oh, it's just a beautiful picture of military women, native women in their jingle dress. And they danced for us a number of times. And just that feeling of pride and again, of a positive future is really kind of what I was feeling again on Wednesday.
Well, hey, let's take a quick break, Mary, and come back to that. We're a state Senator Mary Kunish, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break. Hey, Cudgee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the chat now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org, mn350.org, or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I Am Awake, and I'm your host, Waken Jahade.
And again, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline, 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, we're here with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're really excited. Mary's a holdover from the weekend show that we used to do. Now we're here on 5 days a week, and we really always look forward to Mary's update. So welcome back, Mary, and fill us in. What's been going on? You can take this as your update section, because we really enjoyed your updates when we had them on Saturdays.
Well, let's see. You heard about the Stauber letter. You heard about the inauguration of the president. One of the committees that I sit on is the K-12 Education Committee in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And that the struggles are real that our families and our teachers and our administrations have been going through as we try to figure out what to do for education during a time of COVID. And so many of our schools have been holding classes virtually or in hybrid, in-person model. And so it was sort of encouraging to know that our elementary schools were allowed to reopen under the state's Safe Learning Plan this week. And so as a member of the K-12 Committee, I had the opportunity this week to hear from a lot of administrators and board members and an outside group that had some ideas about how we can move our schools forward. And I think, for one, we might be seeing a lot more online learning or hybrid versions of learning. Some kids that thrive doing independent work with computer. And so one of the most important things we want to find are creative ways to help our kids catch up with their learning. And then something like a distance learning academy combines that online lessons with in-person. So I know that one of our focuses will be how we can reconstruct our educational system, not like it used to be, but in a way that meets in a really equitable way to ensure that that we're all succeeding in the way that we should be. I know there's been a lot of talk around electric cars and a lot of misinformation about electric cars. It's not like we're going to do away with them and make us all buy new cars and whatnot. So that's started a really good conversation. And then redistricting. I sit on that and kind of went through the history of redistricting all the way back to when our state became a state. And the very first times there were census, numbers were very different compared to rural and urban areas. More rural population than urban, but that quickly caught up. And I was sort of curious myself, did they consider everybody? Did they count everybody in the census back then? You know, were all women counted? Were people of color? Were our Native folks counted?
Nope. I think we lost you, Mary. You're frozen in time.
Right.
It did freeze you on a very good face frame, though.
Oh.
So let me try calling you again.
Yeah. One of the questions One of the questions I want to ask Mary I know it's really a lot of people have thrived, and you said on distance learning. I think it may be able to keep the money within public schools if we can diversify. I know in St. Paul, where I teach, we've had terrible numbers of people doing it, and because a lot of it has to do with the internet, their living situation. I know a lot of times there's a lot of people and noise in the background, so it's not been all good. But it's interesting to hear your response from the administrators, because we're worried about being safe and going back, and I really don't want to go back unless I have a vaccine.
Yeah. I think that's a really valid concern as an educator yourself. If you yourself have health issues or somebody that you live directly with, that's certainly a major concern. You know, I met a fellow this week that said, you know, he didn't know one single person that had COVID, and he was kind of starting up on that conspiracy theory. And I just said, look, I lost a father-in-law. I lost a sister-in-law. There are plenty of people that have died of it. And there are still those that don't take that seriously. And so going back to school as an adult, knowing that you will be exposed is, I think, a valid concern. And so if we can do those sort of, continue doing those hybrid lessons, both for the safety of our adult educators and personnel, you know, let's find a way to make it a balanced education.
Well, I know when Katrina happened, I think we talked about this before, when Katrina happened, the people in Louisiana were out of school for a whole year and they caught up. So there is some statistics, real numbers and things that did happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I was reading also so many incidences where people live in wartime and war zones, right? And they miss school for a really long, very long period of time, and they wrote that they caught up and they were able to do just fine. So
yeah. I mean, a part of it is society's expectations and the ceilings that they put for different achievements. You know, we talk about the achievement gap, but different kids achieve at different maturity levels or at different ages or under different circumstances. And so I don't think we can just expect everybody to jump back in and get to where they were or where we would have expected them had we not had this pandemic. But definitely there will be, you know, a good chunk of our kids that are going to need some really unique support and mentorship. And I hope that we're able to put our money where our mouth is and really invest in education once again.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree. I think what it's really, the virus has really showed us a lot of the inequities and really in education, you know, being a teacher in the inner city school. And then I can't imagine being a teacher up north where the internet and, you know, you have to worry how many people are on the internet because the internet's so terrible because they don't have broadband.
Yeah. Right. Right. And, you know, I just think about, you know, about those our kids that have been struggling for so long, and other families that have the ability to hire tutors now or send their kids to private schools or send them to charter schools that aren't, you know, legally did not have to follow the mandate for education. And that certainly gives them all a lift up. And so as we discover which kids have sort of slipped through the cracks during this time, I hope those are the ones that we actually do lift up the most and ensure that they're getting some of those little extra helps along the way that are going to make them be just as successful as those that have been able to continue their education. Because that certainly is a, you know, an issue of equity, but it's also life, you know.
Right. And I was a late bloomer, believe it or not, Mary. I'm still blooming right now. I used to be a flower child. Now I'm a blooming idiot. Isn't that how the joke goes? No. But there's people that learn at different speeds and their careers. And of course, you're going to have the people that are going to, you know, do well no matter what the circumstances are. But we really, you know, I really like dealing with the 70% of the people that really
I mean they could come up with so many programs at school, like those kids who are overachievers could get credit for tutoring students who are falling behind. There's just so many things that they can do. So
well, the bottom line is we have Mary in the state capitol who's boots on the ground is an educator, so that's exciting. Who else is in that committee?
Oh, let's see. From the DFL, it's myself, Senator Isaacson, and Senator Wieger. He's our lead. And then on the GOP, the chair is Senator Chamberlain. And I'd have to pull out the list. I don't even remember. I'm so new to these these committees and these people. I can see their faces. I just don't remember.
We just wanted to know the DFL anyway, so that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else is going on?
So we'll be working on a lot of good bills in education coming up from our side. I've carried the Teacher of Color and Indigenous Act. It's that comprehensive bill from recruiting teachers of color all the way through mentoring them afterwards. We're going to be working on that again. I've always enjoyed that and been able to get little bits and pieces. One of these days we'll get the whole package done. We'll look at teacher licensing issues. There's just a lot of really good things coming up in education. And again, rather than cutting, especially in education, I'm hoping that our senators on the other side of the aisle will be sure that they are investing in education as well.
Well, I just hope we can take care of the paraprofessionals, because like in St. Paul, they do so much work, and yet they're probably the least paid, and they're almost in, poor. They almost have to get food stamps for as little as they make, and they're boots on the ground too. So I know you know that, and I think everybody else know that.
There is a bill. Yep, there is a bill to ensure a decent wage for them. And, you know, we saw when COVID hit how many of them lost their jobs instantly. And these are jobs that supplant their family's income or maybe pays for their health insurance and the hardship that they ended up having because of that is really heartbreaking. I mean, they don't get to file for unemployment.
What?
So once they're done for the year. And that's why we worked so hard to ensure that school districts continue to pay those employees, because they'd already received the money, they already had it budgeted, and you know, it was a make or break for so many of our paras or education assistants.
Well, thanks, Mary, so much for stopping in and doing what you do at the Capitol, really. Hi, Juoni, Pini Gigi. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish. We'll be right back.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host for Ken Jahade, Wendy.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Hana Jihi Hani, and that means cares for them.
I guess we're not going to Jay Selby's tonight then.
Well, we went to Jay Selby's last night.
Yeah.
I ordered Jay Selby's, 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul, and I got the tamarind noodle stir fry, which is a little bit spicy. It's got some veggies, tofu, and rice noodles. It's really yummy.
It's too spicy for me. I'm a delicate flower.
Yeah. But anyway, you could get lots of other stuff there too. So.
Yep. That's.
I forgot about the commercial I was supposed to do.
No, that's
my
fine.
Bad.
It was just a read. It was supposed to be natural. We're not telling the people online here and listening to us that we're doing commercials.
Well, we are
right in the middle
natural.
Of the show.
I know. Hey. Well, if you go to Jay Selby, tell them you heard the ad on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. Hey, so now let's do your segment, Sacred Animal segment here. It's always really good to talk about our sacred animals, and you never tell me anymore. You used to give me questions. Do you remember those days?
I do remember, but now you're so good at it, you could just ask me anything.
People used to go, wow, and Robert asked such great questions, and it's like, the magic of radio.
I wrote them for him. but I got an update today from Howling for Wolves that I'm really happy about. Wisconsin will not hold an immediate wolf hunting this spring. So thank you for everyone who signed the petitions and wrote in about that. So I really appreciate it. And what I did on our Facebook page today is I put up a petition, and I want everyone to sign it. Takes 2 seconds to save our right whale. So it's R-I-G-H-T, whale. And it's a specific type of whale. It's not like the cute orcas that are black and white and who are at SeaWorld. And also, I discourage people from going to SeaWorld. But anyway, it's the big gray whales that are kind of Not cute, and they looks like they have barnacles on them and everything. But and then last week I spoke about the right whales that they were in. They came back to Alaska to Glacier Bay, right? Because they weren't in any cruise ships. Yeah. And I was really happy to see that. But just a little background about the whales. And I didn't realize when I was talking about them last week how endangered they are. Mm. They are really, they're on the Endangered Species Act, and they are really about to go extinct if things aren't done. Here's a little bit of a background. The North Atlantic right whales are disappearing at an alarming rate. Scientists estimate that there's fewer than 360 that are alive today, including only about 70 breeding females. So that's in the world. We don't have grandchildren yet, but I would really like my grandchildren to know and see these animals, even if it's in a picture book or on TV or a video. I want them to be alive for them.
I want to go up to Alaska and see them.
Robert, can you guess what the problem is and the number one deterrent that is killing these whales?
I know it's Chinese fishermen, but also sonar is driving them crazy. Mm-hmm. They're beaching themselves.
It is.
So those two things that I can think of off the top of my head.
Those are things that are killing them. But the biggest obstacle why they're dying, over 85% of right whales have been entangled in fishing gear at least once in their lifetime. And 60% have been entangled multiple times. Entanglement in fishing gear is the leading cause of death for this critically endangered species. The National Marine Fisheries Service released a proposed rule in December that is intended to reduce the risk of entanglement, but the rule falls far too short of what is needed to protect these species from extinction. Whoa, I'm having trouble talking here. Oh my God. So what I would like everyone to do, if you're on our Facebook page, just go on really quick. I put the link up. You just sign the petition. The more names that we get, the more names the Humane Society of the United States can send to the National Marine Fisheries Service to tighten up where fishermen can fish, right? Maybe they need to fish elsewhere where the whales are. The fish are also getting, whales are also getting struck by the boats too. So
yeah, I believe that.
And then these entanglements, initially, it doesn't kill them, but it weighs them down. It makes them really tired, and then they drowned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really a really sad thing. So
yeah.
Yeah. So, sign
what
the petition.
Part of, part of the world are these?
Well, these are North Atlantic. These are North Atlantic, where I lived, New York. That's okay. The North Atlantic, right? Okay. But they also live in the Pacific Ocean, also up in Alaska. So, right whales are all over the world, and they migrate.
No.
And there's only 360 of them about left.
Yeah.
And there's only 70 breeding females. So, with that little amount, and this past summer, 8 died. Mm. So, at that rate, if 8 die every
10 years,
summer, they'll be gone, yeah. Right? In 10 years.
8 years, yeah.
In 8 years.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Did you math. But that's really sad. So, yeah, sign the petition. I'm just going to, put that out there. I just want people to be aware about it, because I talked about them last week, but I had no idea how endangered they were. So.
We definitely do have to pray for our relatives. Mm-hmm. They belong in this world. And, when they're just getting killed like that, it's not good.
Absolutely. And these fishing lines also, they entangle other animals, right? Turtles, or seals, or dolphins, all types of marine life. So, and they say too, with these big fish nets, they will be depleting the ocean of fish by the year 2050, that there aren't going to be any fish in the ocean. And the only fish that you'll ever get to eat would be through fish farms. That breeding fish farms.
Ick
is right. So, wow.
Thank you for bringing that up. It's always very important to talk about these things, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Pini Gigi for that. Another great show, another great week.
And can I just say one more thing? I just love the Bernie Mims still. They're still hanging out for like the third day in a row.
Oh my God.
I just saw a couple of really funny ones. And Bernie Sanders is selling his T-shirts with that image of him at the inauguration sitting in the chair with his mittens and his glove on a sweatshirt. They're $45 and 100% of the proceeds goes to Meals on Wheels in Vermont.
Wow. My birthday's coming up and Christmas so too.
Don't it would be
that.
A good thing to have some nostalgia. You could look back and say, hey, that
yeah, that's
was,
awesome. You know, well, a great show.
Great show, Robert.
A great show, Ogama. Thank you, Pini Gigi, for all your updates, Ogama. And it was great to have Mary Kunish on.
Mm-hmm.
So just a lot of good things. And always, here's another week down. We're going to be back next week. The best of Native Roots Radio is played on Saturdays on AM 950 and also in Illinois, Madison
and
Milwaukee.
Yeah, and please join us on Facebook, and you could watch us live and see us in the studio.
And see how many shirts I have, because I'm not going to wear the same shirt.
Oh, that's a sore spot in our house.
Oh, geez.
Robert has lots and lots of T-shirts, more than anyone in the world, probably.
Wow.
We'll leave it at that.
Well, hey, I'd like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. I would like to thank Mary Kunish, Wendy Pilot, Ogama for being on the show and doing such a great work. If you're listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.